Gospel according to St. John, the 14th chapter and the 6th verse. St. John's Gospel, chapter 14, verse 6. Jesus said unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. How wonderful was the patience and the long-suffering that the Master exhibited toward his disciples. And we are reminded that the same Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. How willing he was that they should resort unto him in all their perplexities and difficulties, and how willing he was to hearken unto them and to display unto them that wherein he could give to them the help which they so much needed. Though they would indeed address him by the term Lord, having the acknowledgement within their hearts of his supreme authority, yet we note how that when they came to him, they seemed to have a great freedom in that wherein they would so put their questions to him. They didn't come in a servile fear of him. They came to him as one whom they looked upon as their friend, the one to whom they could open their heart to, the one from whom they need not hide aught, because he had so many times made known to them that he knew the thoughts of their hearts, in that wherein he preceded their own utterances and spake to them in the knowledge that he had concerned them. He is still the same yesterday, today, and forever. Would that that truth might be impressed more and more upon our hearts. I mean in that wherein there is a realization within us that it is so, and that we may come with the same reverential love to him, and so seek of him at all times and in all cases those answers from his sacred mouth which puts everything right. So they came to him on this occasion. So they put their questions to him, and so he so was pleased to lead them step by step through their questions until we come to the end of this chapter. When you have time, read this chapter that may be so familiar with you. Read it again and again and again and yet again. And as you read it, you will see how that in that wherein he so attended unto their inquiries of those things which were so mysterious unto them, yet he takes them step by step unto that spot wherein he sets himself plainly before them and says, relative to the commandment of his Father, even so I do. And then he turns to them and he says, arise, Let me go hence. No. Let us go hence. They have an interest in the way that he was so to take. They were very dear unto his heart. Yea, and they who had been so near and familiar with him through the past 3 years were now to be brought into those scenes wherein their faith and their love was to be tested to the utmost. So we mustn't expect the way to be easy. We mustn't expect that which is concerning the way to be so plain unto us that we admit that at once we can understand and comprehend everything. I don't find anything like that so related to me in the scriptures. I find that they were indeed to be followers of him, that they were indeed so to declare the wonders of the way which he had indeed made through the veil that is his own flesh for their sakes, and how that in his ascension up on high they have been the recipients of the gift of the Holy Ghost, that they may witness and testify unto that wherein everything has now been made plain unto them, even by that one who would lead them into all truth. Do you wonder if you're a Christian sometimes because you can't understand so much? Do you wonder as to whether you have the reality of the truth within your heart because you cannot comprehend the whole of that which is a relative to godliness? If you are indeed a genuine seeker or inquirer of the Lord Jesus Christ, and I say genuine because of this, don't come to him because the disciples did. Don't come to him with a question that implies unbelief. But when you come to him with the reliance and the dependence upon him for instruction, for guidance, for counsel, for understanding. And coming that way, you shall indeed know what it is to be led into all truth, like he led those disciples step by step. Oh, yes, I repeat it. You may think that because you seem to know so little that you have no interest in that which is relative to this great work of redemption. But wait a minute. He says in another place that he has been with them, he's been talking with them. And then he says, in effect, no, I'm not going to tell you anymore. I told you enough. You can't bear anymore. But the time will come when you will be able so to receive those things relative to the things to come, and so forth. Till that time comes, wait. There may be many things that you are desiring to know and to understand, and he tells you at times to wait. And in the waiting period, there is that conducting of your feet into the way. Gradually it is unfolded to you. And let me put it like this too. Unfolded to you in the sense that you feel more of your hopelessness, more of your dependence upon him to be strength and power, that you may indeed be enabled to continue in the way. Yes, because that is what the doctrine of the divine atonement is all about. It is that wherein, we are justified by faith, we have to be brought into the experience of the liberty that is in Christ Jesus. Oh, then, go to him and ask him question after question, and you'll find that he'll take you on step by step in the way. Here a little, there a little, precept upon precept, line upon line. And that is what the disciples so blessedly were brought to receive. And it all involved in the text. The text, as it were, circles around all that which relates unto the experiences of every redeemed child of God. The very center of their soul's experience is coming so consolidated, as it were, into the fact of the living Christ. The one who is essentially and all-sufficient for them. The I Am. Yea, the one that so speaketh the word of God, as he declared, that the words that he speaks are the words of his Father, the words that he has heard of him. He is delivering them his message. And in all that which we may know of God, in the triune of Jehovah, we are blessedly aware that they speak with one voice. There is no variation between them relative unto the testimony. And that wherein Jesus Christ speaks of his Father, the Holy Spirit likewise speaks of those things which he has heard of Jesus. The testimony is one. So is the way. So is the way. It all concentrates. It all shines upon one person and one person only. And that is the one through whom the Father is pleased to reveal the purpose of divine love toward the people whom he hath given unto him. And the Holy Spirit is pleased to take of that which is relative to that glorious work of Christ, and to make it known unto us, that we may be assured that we have an interest and a part in all that he did. Oh, I'm going to stop there a moment. There is nothing greater that you can possess in this life than to have the witness and the testimony of the Spirit within your own breast, declaring that you have been adopted as a son. And oh, I adopted. Because everything that Christ hath done is put to your account. It is yours. You say, give me proof of that. I will. All things are yours. And we are Christ. And Christ is God. Can you have anything beyond that? There is nothing. Oh, it is an amazing statement. It is that which you fill us, as it were, with astonishment and with joy, as we so realize that which we do possess in a precious Christ, the one who declared, I am the way. Well, this morning we're speaking from these words. We were speaking of those to whom it would be impossible that they should ever come to the Father. So you see, my dear hearer, if you are a son or a daughter, you're going to come to the Father. And if you're not, you will never come to this Father, but you will go to your father, the devil. There are two families, you know, and others. There is a family which is to be so seen in the seed, the promised seed, the seed of the Lord. there is a family that is to be found in the deceiver, the serpent. Yes, to one family or the other we belong. Can we ever thank God enough if he has been pleased so to open our eyes to discern by some sweet token or evidence that he has loved us, and that in that love he has provided for us in everything. And when I say everything, everything that is necessary for a never-ending eternity with him in glory. Does that astonish your soul? I think it does. When you, like myself, are oftentimes conscious of the workings of sin, when we are made to groan under the fact of our own corrupt nature, when we are assaulted by the evil one, oh yes, and how at times we are inclined to give way to a sense of unbelief. And to think that by these things, even as David had to say concerning his foe Saul, I shall surely perish at his hand. Nevertheless, upheld, sustained, maintained, held on your way, preserved, still having in possession within your heart that wherein there is a clinging, a dependence, a trust, a confidence in that one who hath done all things well, you look to him, you depend upon him, because that is your way. And that way is full, and it is clear, and there is no possibility of anything in the way which he has opened up for you, of any enemy or ought ever come, whereby you may be brought unto destruction. Yet I'm not taking the line of thought, as it were, that I have purpose. My mind, as it were, goes in another direction at the moment. Have you ever thought of the wonder of the salvation of your soul? To be a saved sinner. If you are a saved sinner, you know, you'll never speak of sin like that. There'll never be any degree of liberty in your utterance regarding it, because your hate and you are abhorred. Yes, but in that wherein you do so have that new nature given to you, what a blessed token you have that you were indeed in the way which he took as your representative, as the one who was accountable for you, the one who bore you on his heart and on his shoulder, the one who took you through all the indignation of the Father against sin, the one who received of him the purchase of his own blood, and the one who says, "Come in, thou blessed of the Lord." Yes, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from before the foundation of the world. Salvation. It isn't simply, as it were, one act that is experienced in your soul. Salvation is a life work in the sinner's experience. Listen unto the testimony of one within his word who declared, "Now is our salvation nearer than when we believed." There was the time when God graciously so wrought within you that gift of faith, whereby you were able to look to him as your way. Yes. This is the victory that will overcome it the Lord. Even our faith. Faith in him who is the way. Yes. Thus may David supply by the infinite power of God which is so put forth within the heart of the poor sinner. He knows the fullness and the comprehension of all that is contained in salvation when his soul is released from his body. When he enters into glory, resting in Jesus, and fully knowing the accomplishment of it, in that wherein the resurrection doth take place, and his spirit, which has been amongst the spirits of the just, is reunited unto a body that is redeemed, glorified, made like unto his glorious body, then he shall know the fullness of the fact of salvation. But you know, we have to come to the beginning of the way, don't we? If we're going to walk in the way and to know the reality of the way, then we've got to start at the beginning. Do you ever pity those people that passed you in the street? Do you, as it were, realize a spirit of compassion when you see them going about on the Lord's day, seeking their own pleasure and their own devices without a single regard for eternity? If you know anything of what God has done for you, you'll realize that spirit of compassion and that pity in your heart for others. Because you know where they're going. And let God in his infinite mercy intervene. And then you look at yourself and you say, like Paul, what have I that I have not received? I can't boast myself against another. It isn't what I've done. It isn't the way that I've taken. No, it is by the grace of God I am what I am. He's put me in the way. I am the way. For what does that way require? It requires holiness. For without holiness shall no man see the Lord. It requires sinlessness, in that wherein righteousness is established. Have you that righteousness? Think of it. Sinlessness, holiness, righteousness. If you're ever going to meet the Father, you've got to be found as such, without spot, without blemish, or any such thing. Yes, and not only that, but that way in which leads to the Father is the way of perfection. He demanded perfection. And without this holiness and this righteousness and this sinlessness and this perfection, no man ever cometh to the Father, but the way is barred against him. The way is barred against sin. What is sin? Do you realize what it is in the sight of God? You have a fleeting thought. Well, leave all the rest of your life out of it. You have a fleeting thought going through your mind. It arises out of the corrupt nature. It damages, not for the grace of God to all eternity. God cannot look upon sin with any degree of allowance. Oh, there can only be the pronouncement of divine justice. He could not be just with himself if he did not punish sin. And to illustrate the fact, what has he given to us? He gave unto Israel when they were passing through the wilderness. He gave them the Ten Commandments. He gave them the law. Yes. And Paul said, I kept until the time came when he found that he was come. And the law was spiritual. That law was holy and just and good. And that law demands and commands and will have satisfaction, or it will hail you as a prisoner. Yes, how can we ever get to heaven in the light of the holy, just, and good law that God has given unto us? Descriptive of himself, of that wherein his attributes did so consist. All that is consistent with his own holiness and justice. Can you ever enter into the law which demands? Don't think the law has been done away with. Don't think you're not accountable any longer to that law. That law still remains in force. And God requires that that which is relative unto that law shall indeed be obeyed. And if not, then condemnation forevermore. I say, do we realize then these things in another soul? Do you read about them? Do you realize in your own heart the truth of them? Yes, I am the way and the truth. Then there is only one, isn't there, that can possibly open the way for sinners who have broken the law, who are bound as sinners, sensible of. It is only God that can open the way whereby they can come unto the Father. Every man that hath heard and longed to the Father cometh unto me. To who? I am the way. In this way then is revealed unto us in a person. In one person and one only. It's revealed in that wherein the way can only be opened by him who is found perfectly in accordance, in agreement, yea, and in exemplary realization of that which pertains unto all that the divine holiness and righteousness of God demands. Who then is able so to render unto God such as he in his infinite, yea, in his all glorious majesty, so demands at the hands of sinners? He will have it, or he will condemn. Doesn't that raise within our hearts an anxious thought? Oh, we've been reading about them that have been letting things slip. The things that they have heard, it might be like a sieve, and it's been let go so easily. How shall we, if we neglect so great salvation? escape. There is no way opened up to us apart from that which is in him. And God has spoken unto us in his Son, Jesus Christ. In him there is no sin. Sinless, undefiled, separate from sinners. Here is one who assumes unto himself the nature of his brethren, yet without sin, in that wherein it is so sanctified and set apart by God himself, the Holy Ghost, in the womb of the Virgin Mary. And that which shall be born of thee shall be called a holy thing. Here is a leaf in which there is not to be found anything that cometh short of the requirement that God demands. He is not only found in that wherein he is holy, in that wherein there is to be found no sin or defilement, but he is found in that way whereby he can render unto his Father righteousness. How is this made known unto us? He is righteous in that wherein he is obedient, even unto death, the death of the cross. That is the implication, that there is no turning aside from that which is laid upon him by God as he stands in the room and the stead of sinners. He has entered into our blessed contract with his Father before eternity, before time began. And in eternity he so took upon himself that he would be the surety of all those who were so named in that covenant that was transacted between the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost. And he took it upon himself willingly, voluntarily, not compelled unto it, but willingly in the love that he bore toward that number who were so named in that book of life, that he should suffer and bleed and die upon the accursed tree. Who is it that makes the offer? Who is it that so prepares himself to render unto God that which his just demands or requires at the sinner's hand? It is he in that holy nature. He offers himself up unto God in that human nature. That human nature is offered upon the altar of his divinity. And it is the altar that sanctifies the gift. And here is the blood shed. Here is the life given. Yes, it is enough. I listened to his prayer as it so came forth from the cross. Never shall I forget the time when that man I first heard that cry within my own soul. It is finished. It is finished. Yes, he who is holy and spotless and sinless can go the way whereby he will so bring all his people by the blood of his cross into the presence of his Father. We turn to the 17th chapter of St. John, and what do we read there? gavest me to do. And if we go through that chapter, we read of how that which was sown in his heart regarding them who he so bore in himself, and that one offering for sin, so delighted to go to his father and to tell him what he had done for them. He said, I've given them thy words, and they have believed that thou didst send me. They believe that I came forth from thee, and so forth. And now he says, Father, I will, for my will is always in agreement and acquiescence with thine. We are never divided. I will that they whom thou hast given me be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory. Yes, I am the way unto the Father. It's in the person. It's by the person of Jesus. It's through the person of Jesus that we have a way of access then unto the Father. And that brings me to a very blessed testimony that is given to us by Paul in his letter to the Ephesians, wherein he is speaking of this glorious fact of the accomplishment of Christ, and of how that through it there shall indeed be a making known in the hearts of all his people a love which passeth all understanding. A love which in its breadth, its length, its heights and depths answers unto every. A love that taketh in the poor sinner complete and perfect in his own blessed person. And do you understand the wonder of that passage wherein it is thus declared, in whom? It is prefaced by the statement, according to the eternal purpose which he purposed in Christ Jesus, in whom we have what? Is the word ever, as it were, stood out and struck you? In whom we have boldness, that's the result of what he's done. No fear in it. Perfect love cast without fear. In whom we have boldness and access. And what else? With confidence. By the faith of him, I am the way unto the Father. Let it be God. This is the boldness that he gives his people. This is the access which he grants unto them. And it is in that confidence that he has indeed done all. In his sufficiency, that therefore souls can ever require to stand before God to all eternity. Yes, it is by the faith of him. Is he your way? Your way by the faith of him? In your love to him? In the confidence which you have in him? Is it that you say, on Christ the solid rock I stand? All other ground is sinking sand. And is it too that you know that that way is the way of conformity? If he is my way, I shall be conformed unto him. Yes, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. But if you have the Spirit of Christ, it will transform you. Oh, it is that wherein you will walk in holiness. You will walk. love with dear children. You will have him always in view. You will be obedient unto all his commands, because his love, made known in your heart, compels and draws you so to follow on to know the Lord, like these disciples were so led by him into the way. And this is life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. And Jesus said unto him, I am the way. Yes, this is the way. Some might indeed have to say, I long have sought and longed, because I found it not till late. I heard my Savior say, come to the soul, I am the way. Amen.
Hymn number 152, 152. I am, says Christ, the way. Now if we credit him, all other paths must lead astray, how fair soe'er they seem. Number 152.
Oh,
May it please thee to bless that which has been of thy giving this day. Make our hearts receptive of the precious rites. And may his grace and the love of the Father and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with us each, now and evermore. Amen.